It's 94.3 The Shark, everything that rocks. We are on the phone with not only one of the greatest singers from our generation, but a guy who's going to come to the Paramount on November 29th with the Blaster Records, Scott Weiland. What's going on, brother?
Doing great. Having a good time. My wife just flew out yesterday, and she's out here with me on the road, and we're having a good time. Ted got done having lunch.
Is it more peaceful with you, with your family with you on the road?
Yeah, definitely.
We are joined now by Harrison. It is Orlando and Harrison with the one and only Scott Weiland on 94.3 The Shark, everything that rocks. Now, Scott, I remember when the Blaster record came out. I remember, as a fan, I try consciously to not compare it to, okay, that sounds like STP, that sounds like Velvet Revolver. But when you write these songs, do you make a conscious effort to not try to sound the way you did in the past?
Yeah, I've always tried to evolve musically and artistically. I feel like my ultimate musical hero, David Bowie, you know, always evolved and always changed and kept things fresh. My favorite band, the Beatles, did the same thing. So that's been something that has been in the forefront of my musical being, really, and kept things fresh for me and exciting.
Is there a certain period of Bowie and the Beatles that you prefer more than others?
I like all the periods, basically. There are certain albums that are closer to my heart than others, but I'm a fan of the mutations.
Scott, congratulations on the success of your new album, Blaster. You mentioned that you haven't been this excited about making an album since the early days of STP. So what makes Blaster different from your previous solo projects?
I think it was the combination of the players, the guys in my band and myself, and how we worked together, especially the collaboration between myself and Jeremy Brown, who passed away the day before our Blaster came out. He and I had a real connection, and not just musically, but we were best friends, he and I, and Tommy Black, my bass player.
Do you feel like you have more artistic freedom doing something with the Wildabouts?
Yeah, I do. And I'm playing with some great players now. I mean, Nick Mayberry took over for Jeremy after auditioning many guitar players. Joey Castillo, who played drums for Queens of the Stone Age for 12 years, is our drummer. He also played with Eagles of Death Metal.
Sure.
He's the best drummer I've ever played with. So I do feel that I have a great group of guys around me that I'm friends with and that have my back. And, you know, and then again, I'm the boss, you know. and I get to angle and reshape things musically the way that I want to.
Well, Scott, you brought up how David Bowie is a big influence on you. I think, you know, doing like a David Bowie cover album would be a little too obvious, but have you ever tried to reach out to Bowie about working with him?
No, I haven't. He's a very private person, but I do know people that have tried to hook the both of us up together for a dinner or something like that.
That would be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, two amazing voices, two amazing talents. Scott, I remember when 12 Bar Blues came out, when I flipped through the liner notes, I remember you having like a ton of musicians and guitar players. Didn't Sheryl Crow play on it as well, accordion?
Yeah, she did. She did on one track, on Lady Yoruba Brings Me Down.
Is it more difficult playing with a lot of musicians?
I prefer playing with a power trio and myself up front. I like the space between the notes. I think there's more freedom to explore different sounds because there's less egos involved and, you know, less people vying for their own space on the recorded piece of music and on the stage.
Sure.
Now that Chester Bennington's out of STP, do you think that maybe a reunion's possible, or have you just moved on because you're pretty much focused on the Wildabouts at this point?
Well, I'm definitely focused on the Wildabouts right now, but I wouldn't rule out an STP reunion at some point. It just seems like it would be a natural sort of thing that would happen, but you never know.
Well, you know, I guess the conflict kind of came from the fact that you had a different vision for STP than the rest of the guys. What do you think would need to happen to get everyone on the same page? Perhaps get Brendan O'Brien back in the fold? Because sometimes a band producing themselves is just a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a bad idea. And we actually did have a producer involved, and the DeLeo brothers didn't want to really listen to what the producer had to say, and they just wanted to do it ourselves. But there's too many cooks in the kitchen, because everyone in SCP who could be a valid producer of any other band. So I think that having, you know, worked with Brendan on all the other records, he was always a voice of reason and, you know, knew when to say when and like, okay, all right, that's it. That was the take. No more takes.
We're talking to Scott Weiland on 94.3 The Shark, Everything That Rocks. Scott, coming to the Paramount with the Wild About November 29th, Sunday night show. Let's not worry about Monday. We will party with Scott until any time into the night. Now, Scott, it wasn't until you mentioned that Guns N' Roses was getting back together that anyone started to take the rumors seriously. And if, I feel like as soon as you said it's happening, that's when everything started to happen. So do you feel like that's the way it'll be with STP? If it happens, it'll be like a quiet storm, and then it will take like one solid rumor and then bang?
Oh, I'm sure that there have been conversations with the guys and the former Guns N' Roses players and Axl, because I've heard from several informants that they were planning a reunion tour. And so I think that it would take more than just hearsay for STP. It would take us getting in a room together and, you know, hashing out some old baggage and in order to create new memories.
Sure.
You did a charity show with Velvet Revolver in 2012. Is there a future for you and Velvet Revolver, or has Guns N' Roses kind of killed that?
I don't know. I think that the Guns N' Roses reunion would be just more like a world tour.
Right.
I don't see them, in my personal opinion, just knowing the guys, I don't see them making a new album together. I mean, I could be wrong, of course. It's what they do is up to them. But as far as Velvet Revolver goes, you know, it's another thing. You know, you never can say never in rock and roll.
Scott, I don't know if you remember the show. It was in Camden, New Jersey. It was for another radio station, the MM Barbecue. You were headlining with Alice in Chains, a couple of other bands on the bill, but I remember you introduced Jerry Cantrell on stage, and something you said to this day, I quote on the air, you said, "I want to bring someone out during the last true music revolution in history." Looking back all that time ago, did you know what was going on? Did you realize you were in the middle of a revolution?
Yeah, you could feel it. I mean, because it just affected more than just the music and certain things that each band had in common. It was, and their influences came from a very similar, same place. You know, a mixture of like 60s garage, 70s Sabbath, Zeppelin, and punk rock. It was the way that we connected with our generation, Generation X, and the way that we affected youth culture and the pop culture, and also in how we influenced the political movement going on at the time.
Absolutely. Was there a certain band from that generation that you noticed more than the others that you were like, all right, these guys are definitely going to be the ones?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Nirvana. I saw them at a small club in Los Angeles called Raji's. And James Addiction, too. I mean, James Addiction from Los Angeles was part of that same movement. They just happened to have their album come out a year earlier than Bleach.
Right.
But those are probably two of my biggest influences.
Scott, you and I are both looking forward to the new Star Wars movie, and there's a rumor that Luke Skywalker has turned to the dark side. Now, some of the rumors...
I've heard that. I don't know if I believe that, but...
I don't know if I want to believe it, but... You know, the idea kind of came from Mark Hamill himself. He did this inside the actor's studio with J.J. Abrams, the director of the new Star Wars films, and he claims he presented that idea to George Lucas, something about how the character wanted to understand his father's path, but he kind of gets lost along the way. Do you think the New Hope could actually turn to the dark side?
Well, I mean, you know, they said the Chosen One was supposed to be Anakin Skywalker, and it ultimately ended up being his son, Luke Skywalker,
right,
who finished the path and killed the dark Sith Lord. So, you know, I mean, you never know what goes on in the mind of George Lucas as far as the storytelling.
True.
I mean, I think it would bum out a lot of people if Luke turned to the dark side, especially since Darth Vader went back to the Force at the end. And I'm talking as a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's also been talk about a major character dying in the new film, maybe Luke or Han Solo or Chewbacca. And in the latest trailer, it kind of looks like the new character, Rey, is crying over the body of Chewbacca. You can barely see his fur and belt. That would, like, kill my childhood if one of those guys died. I don't think I can handle that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, are you into any other sci-fi? Like, is it just Star Wars? Are you, like, a Trekkie as well? Or are you into all that other stuff?
I'm into a lot of sci-fi. I watch a lot of stuff off the Sci-Fi Channel, as well as I'm a big fan of the Bond series, the Bourne series, and a lot of things that are smart science fiction-oriented material.
Now, are you a Bond snob? Were you okay with the most recent Bond? Are you a classic guy?
No, I think that Daniel Craig is possibly up there equal with Sean Connery. Yeah, I think Sean Connery played Bond a little bit too long. And, you know, he started out lean and mean and
badass,
strong guy, and he kind of got a little puffy there for a while.
He started eating too many olives off the martinis.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott,
but Daniel Craig comes in, and he just is ripped and just is a badass. It's a perfect amount of seriousness and has that snarky humor as well.
Scott, you did an album with Art of Anarchy that came out this year. I know you're not an official member of the band, but do you plan on working with them again in another album or possibly a tour?
No. It was never meant to be a tour or anything like that. It's a confusing situation. It's a real quagmire because the manager I had at the time and the attorney I had at the time didn't read the contract to me, and I thought my responsibility was one thing, and it turned out there were other things that I was contracted to do, but being their live singer wasn't one of them.
In the future, because of that situation, would you ever take on another singer for a higher project, or are you done with that type of thing?
If it was with somebody that was known and reputable, and it was collaboration, then I would consider it.
Scott, in addition to songs from Blaster and a cover of David Bowie's Gene Genie, will we hear any Velvet Revolver or Stone Temple Pilots songs at the Paramount?
Yeah, we play about 5 STP songs, and we play 1 Velvet Revolver song. What song do we play? I can't think of it right now.
Slither or Fall to Pieces?
No. Do It for the Kids.
Do It for the Kids, that's right.
Yeah, it's actually a good song.
That's a great song.
Ooh. Yeah.
When you go out with the Wildabouts, and when you start making new music, like, is there ever a song, like, when we're making Blaster, that you realize that's going to take the place of an STP song or a Velvet Revolver song on the album? Like, does the new music help dictate the set list with the old stuff?
Yeah, definitely, because we pick the songs that sound, that translate the best live, and songs that have gotten the most play on the interweb, and so we kind of base our set off of playing the majority of Blaster, and then we add in stuff from my past as well.
So we'll hear a couple of maybe something off of 12 Bar Blues or maybe Happy and Galoshes?
No, we're not doing any of that stuff because that stuff is more of an art experimental project.
Okay.
Both of those records were... We're sticking to mostly Blaster and some STP and and a little bit of VR.
Cool. Well, Scott, I tell you, we had a blast talking to you. We really appreciate you joining us. And the show is going to be November 29th at the Paramount. Let's close. Is there anything you want to tell Long Island?
Just get ready to have your faces peeled off from sound of vicious guitars and blasting drums, the loudest drums you've ever heard in your life.
Scott, man, be good in Chicago. Have a great day, brother.
All right, thank you.